Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm going to finish off today, Belineder, in the couple of minutes that we've got. Our limud is Lischus Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Psoch Shechol Yisrael, the Shtul Av Refuah Shleima Bekorev. And just we want to finish off this discussion. I must tell you, I do not have it clear. I have it clear what the Chofetz Chaim is saying, but I don't really understand how it fits in the context. The Chofetz Chaim is saying that if the whole of Lakewood knows that my Rov, the whole of Lakewood knows that my Rov has gone there and he's gone to try out because there's a physician available and he spent Shabbos with them and he gave droshes and he gave shiurim because he's interested in becoming a Rov there. And nobody knows in London that he went for that purpose. They all think he went for a chasna. Yeah? Then the halacha says, the Chofetz Chaim, that the people in Lakewood are not allowed to tell the people in London. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. I, it's mefursam. Everybody knows there are posters up all over town, etc., etc. Chofetz Chaim seems to say that because it will upset the people in London, that they even think. Imagine he said if he tried it out, and in the end, they don't take him. They took somebody else. So he comes back to London. He wants to carry on as normal. But life will never be the normal because we know that you were trying to go somewhere else. In the Mekor Chaim, which is another of the Perushim on the Chofetz Chaim, he brings down the example of a yeshiva bocha. A yeshiva bocha is dissatisfied with his yeshiva, so he goes to another yeshiva in order to try out there. Yeah, he applies to another yeshiva, and he goes for an interview, and they decide not to accept him. So he goes back to his old yeshiva, if you like. He goes back to his yeshiva where he was learning till now. Now, are the people, or the Rosh Yeshiva, or the people in his in the second yeshiva, are they allowed to tell the people in the first yeshiva, the bochrim, or the staff, or whatever it is in the first yeshiva, are they allowed to tell them that he applied for somewhere else? Yeah, so he says the same halacha will apply. He's not allowed to. Everybody in the second yeshiva knows. He spent an afternoon learning there in the Beis HaMedrash, and he had an interview with the Rosh Yeshiva, and he had an interview with the Mashgiach, and he put in an application, his parents put an application to the secretary, and it was well known in the second yeshiva, but because the first yeshiva don't know about it, and they might be insulted when they hear that he wanted to leave, therefore, yeah. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. The Chofetz Chaim then says, what about the people in the second yeshiva? Are they allowed to discuss it amongst themselves about this new candidate? And he says, l'choira, yes. But he says it for a very interesting reason, which basically he says, because it's not clear from the fact that this Rov is applying for this job, that the reason why he's applying for the job is only because he's dissatisfied with the old job. He might be applying because he wants to go up in the world. He might be applying because he wants to live in a bigger Mokum Torah in Lakewood rather than in London or whatever it is. Therefore, he might have other reasons. Because he might have other reasons, it might not be such an insult. It's a bit unclear, but it seems a big chiddush and very, very a big chumrah that something that is well known in town number two, well known in yeshiva number two, is still not allowed to be said over from people number two to the people in town number one.
Start your day at Torah Way, Northwest London, Friday, Yud Dalet Cheshbon, 15th November. Rabbi Sholem Siegel, Shlita, Yishmoel, left wing or right wing? This week's Torah was sponsored by Fanny Varshavsky, Rav Nishmas, Rav Chaim Ben Rav Doiv, Zichron Lebrocha, on the 9th Yad site, which was on Tuesday, L'schus Tashvon Ma'achayim Ma'achamot, Shatsul Vatsim, Shalom and Heroch.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
This week's parsha we have Yishmoel together with Hogor. They're cast out ultimately by Avraham Avinu after Sora's encouragement and instruction effectively to cast them out of the house. And there they are in the Midbar, and Yishmoel is dying of thirst. He cries out, the lad cries out, the Pasuk says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears his cry, and Ba'asher, as the Pasuk says, Ba'asher Husham, and Rashi says that there is this debate going on in Shomayim. The Malachim are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you going to save him? You obviously know what's going to happen in the future, that when Klal Yisrael are going out into Golus with Nebuchadnezzar, they're going to plead with their captives to let them go to their family, to the Yishmaelim, and the Yishmaelim are effectively somewhat going to kill the Yidden in thirst. They're going to bring out these salty food, and as a result of it, ultimately, they're going to plead for water because of thirst, and they're going to kill them with flasks of just air. So why would you want to save him? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tell me something right now. He's a tzaddik? Tzaddik or a rosha? Is he a tzaddik or is he a rosha? So the Malachim say he's a tzaddik. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I judge a person ba'asher husham as he is right now. If he's a tzaddik right now, he deserves this miracle. And you're all looking, I can see already. The obvious question over here, Yishmael was a tzaddik. Why was he cast out of the house of Avraham Avinu? Sarai Menu sees him mitzachik, says Rashi, what's mitzachik? Mitzachik is an expression of Avodah Zarah, Gila Arroyos and Shvichus Domin. We know that he'd just gone out to the field with Yitzchok, and he's shooting arrows at Yitzchok. So we're not talking about Azad Tzadik. So Be'emes, the Mepharshim already asked the question, the Sifsei Chachomim on the earlier Pasuk there, brings from the Re'im, he says Avada. Avada, there's no question about it, that he was already committing the three cardinals. The question over here is, tzaddik who? Is he a tzaddik regarding this particular, the particular accusation that in the future he's going to kill the Yidden in thirst? Is he a tzaddik regarding that accusation or a rasha? Meaning to say, do you see anything in his actions, in his behavior right now, that indicates that it's a foregone conclusion of what he's going to do in the future? We don't judge based on foreknowledge, because a person's got bechira. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, his hanhoga is based on a person's ability to choose, not based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is going to be. And in fact, the Sifsei Chachomim goes further, I think from the Minchas Yaakov there, he brings that explains why Yishmael wasn't judged, much like you find by a Bein Tzera Umayra. That the Torah can see what is going to happen, and therefore we kill him now, Ba'asher Husham, rather than leaving him to go down that slippery road. Says the Minchas Yaakov, the Pshat is, because there was nothing in his behavior yet that indicated where he was going to end up. There's nothing, Yorda Torah L'Sof Da'at Shel Odom, there's only specific Maisim that indicate that, and that's the Tartim HaShel Bosa, Revi HaShel Yayin, the specific Maisim. Until that point, a person has Bechira. That's what he says, but Sof Kol Sof, it still begs the question. He's a tzaddik. He may not be a Rosha regarding that particular thing, but to call him a tzaddik, ad k'dei kach, that poshut pshat in the posuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to perform a nes. The Sparta says, vayifkach esei neho, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the inayim sichlios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the ability to suddenly think, hold on a second, stop panicking, where could I get water from? And she suddenly had an idea where she could find water. It's not pshat that miraculously a bear sort of appeared out of nowhere. But why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this for Yishmael? He's zichron al tzaddik to merit such an ace. So you say the koyach ha-tfilah, but perhaps there's something a little bit more that's going on over here. In next week's parasha, Parashas Chayisoro, we find that Eliezer Eved Avraham, he's charged with the mission to go find a wife for Yitzchak. And as we know, he goes, he finds Rivka, he goes to Beis Pesuel, tells over the whole story, and he says, at some point, you can see they're playing, as it were, the delay game. They're not letting her actually go, stay for another day, stay for a bit longer. So Eliezer says, look, you know, stop this. Either you're going to give her to me or you're not. Tell me, Hagidu, tell me now. If you're going to give her to me, fine. V'im lo, and if not, tell me as well. V'efne al yominu al samad, and I'll go to the right or the left, I'll find a wife from there. Says Rashi, who's the right, who's the left? Says Rashi, the pshat is, v'efne al yomin means I'll go to the Benos Yishmael, who are to the right. Or I'll go to the left, I'll go to Benos Loit. What's Peshat? The Ishmael is to the right, Benos Loit are to the left. They just happened to be that as he was going right now to one side, to the right was Ishmael, to the left was Benos Loit, or something a little bit more going on over here. It's a question one of my kids came home from school a couple of weeks ago with this question. What's Peshat? Ishmael is to the right. Is there some significance in it? Well, We've just gone forward one parasha. Now let's take a step back from this parasha to last week's parasha. Last week I was learning the parasha, Parashas Lech Lecha. I see a posuk there after having been presented with this question, and the posuk jumps off the page at me. What do you have over there? You have the quarrel between Avram's shepherds and those of Lot, and he gets together, he says, Lot, come on, we can't continue on like this. Let's part ways. And he says to him, you choose. You want to go to the right? I'll go to the left. You want to go to the left? I'll go to the right. I'll go whichever way you want to go. That way, I'll go this way. Once again, right, left, what's going on over there? So if you take a look at the Targum over there, both the Targum Onkelos, the Targum Yenisum and Uziel, they say, what he was saying is, if you want to go to the right, you want to go south, I'll go to the left, I'll go north. You want to go north, i.e. left, I'll go right. And I thought, of course, it's a pasuk, Tzofin v'yamin atov v'rasom. We know that the Torah refers to the Tzofin is the left, and the right, Tzofin v'yamin, the right is obviously therefore the south. So what is he saying to Lot? The Gemara says in Bava Basra, it says over there that if a person wants to become wise, if you want to become wise, Yadrim, face to the south. You want to become rich, face to the north. In other words, when you daven, turn your face. You want to become wise, face to the south. You want to become rich, turn your face to the north. And Bishua Ben Levi actually goes on to say, he says, actually, just go south. Because if you've got wisdom, once a person's got wisdom, he's got everything. You've got everything. But says the Gemara v'simonayich, the way to remember it is, think about in the Mishkan, to the south you had the menorah, the symbol of the seichel, and to the left you had, in other words, not the left, the north is the shulchan melachim, the symbol of riches. That's what's going on over here. To the south, that is Chochmah, that is the menorah, and to the left, to the north, that is the Shulchan, the symbol of riches. And this is what Avraham Avinu was telling Lot. We're going to part ways now. And you can choose which way you want to go. Do you want to go to the right? Do you want to pursue a life of Ruchnius? Or do you want to go to the left? Do you want to pursue a life of Gashmius? Avraham Avinu says, I can make it work in either path. I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with pure Torah and nothing but Torah, or I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the left. I could be call it a Yisachar or a Zavulun. You take one path and I'll take the other. Just make sure it works. Which path did Lot choose? The next path, like Vayisa Lot es Einov, Vayares Kol Kikarayad, and he says, Avraham Avinu, you go right, I'm going left. And we know he went left. He went left, and we know that because, as I said, in Parashat Chayisara, when Avraham Eliezer says, tell me, I'll go to the right or the left, says Rashi, who is the left? The left is Benos Lot. Lot went left, he went after Tiber, after Gashmius, he went to Sodom. Evort, I think I've probably mentioned before, the Gemara says in Brachos, it says that Bilam, he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just a rega in the day when Kiviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. And what he wanted to do was to curse Klal Yisrael in that rega, and he knew if he could get the curse in at that time, Rahman al-Islam, what it could only cause. How long is this rega? Says the Gemara, rega kamemre, the time it takes to say the word rega. Two syllables, rega. Says Tosus, what's he planning to say in that time? Says Tosus, he was planning to say a word of two syllables, kalim. Kalim, annihilate them. Rega, kalim. So the Mefarshim explain it's more significant than just finding a word with two syllables. The Mefarshim say that a person is made up of a moyach, intellect, lev, which is the place of emotion, and kovid is the place of taiva. The middle of Klal Yisrael, the suruas melech boy, mamleches kayanim, is that we have that koyach of malchus. We are ruled by the moyach of Torah, that controls our emotions, which in turn keeps our taiva in sort of in tab. It's not a free-for-all that a person can live a life of hefkeris, there are halachas, the Torah is what's in charge. And Bilam understood that is that middah of melech, of malchus, that's the secret to Klal Yisrael's success and their kiyum, their nitzchius. What he wanted to do was kalem, to switch it around. Kalem, chaf, lamed, mem, the Klal Yisrael should be controlled by their taiva. Because he understood if we're controlled by our taiva, you'll never ever make it, even in the world of intellect, and it's a life. It's a limited existence. It's a finite existence. And instead of saying kalim, he said usruas melech boy. But ultimately, he did get his little bit in there by bringing Benos Moav, seducing Klal Yisrael to be swept up by the koach hataiva of the kovid. And ultimately, yes, we did lose 24,000 people. This is the idea of going to the left. The danger in going to the left is, if you go to the left, when you write the word, when you go through the aleph base, if you're going from right to left, it's chaf, lamed, mem. That's the sequence. When you write in Lashon HaKodesh, you're writing right to left, it's ka, lame. When you're going from right to left, there's a great danger that it will end up on a finite road, as we see in this week's schedule with Sodom. But Avraham Avinu, already in Parashas Lech Lecha, when he went, Sodom was already threatened. Their existence in this world had already been very much put in danger with the battle of the four kings. Melech Sodom on the run. The four kings had been victorious. Avraham Avinu goes and he rescues Lot and the booty of Sodom. And he comes back and he says effectively to the Melech Sodom, I'm going to tell you how you can make it. This wasn't my chosen path in life. This was Lot's path. But I'm going to show you how you can make it going to the left. How can you make it work when going in a life of Gashmias, Vayiten lo ma'aser mikol. Avraham Avinu takes from the booty, he takes 10% and he gives it as Maisa. He says, if you give of your money, if you give of your material success, you show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not Kochi V'Otzem Yadi. I understand that I've been given this in order to serve you and to propagate your honor in this world, then Aser b'shul shetis asher. As I once said, I'd love to say this for you. I'm sure you all know, of course you all know, Mr. Gerald Lewin. So I was in school with one of his sons, Rabbi Yossi Lewin. I remember many years ago, he told me this thought from one of his, Zaydas. He says, when Avraham Avinu said, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. He said, B'derech Melitza, what it's saying is, you know, there's a little dot with the letter Shin. You can put it on the right, or you can put it on the left. If you put it on the left, Aser, it means take Maisa. You put it on the right, it's Asher, Ayin Shin Rish, it means become rich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you put the dot on the left, if you take Maiseh, Aser, I'll put it on the right. Bishvil Shetis Asher, you'll become rich. But if you put it on the right, you're not willing to give any Maiseh, you're just out there to become rich, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll put it on the left. You'll end up with nothing more than 10%. Chazal already say this in Parashas Nosa. Aser, you put it, take my ser, Bishul Shetis Asher, I promise you I'll make you rich. It's a promise. Right? The Novi already says, but if you, Asher, you go after riches and you're not willing to give anything for Avedas Hashem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I promise you, tis Aser, you'll end up with nothing more than 10%. That little dot that we're talking about, we find it's Mavua in definitely according to Shetas Rashi, a dot is Be'etzim as a Yud. That's the Yud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Yud with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you take my yud, if you take that tenth and you put it on the left, in other words, when you're going in this world, as we said, to the left, you're going that Shulchan Melochim, I promise you, take that yud, take my Shekhinah into your worldly, your business life, recognize that it's me that's making things work, and I promise you, you'll be successful, there'll be kiyum. But if you go in a world of Sodom where there's absolute ignorance, absolute denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, then I promise you will be nothing more than Kalim. Nothing will remain. And this Be'etzim we see by the Shulchan, where they took the Lechem Aponim, they baked it on an Erev Shabbos, and it was put on the Shulchan, and it was taken off 9 days later. At Kedei Kach, that it says, the Goyim, they made fun of this is what you give to your king, bread which is 9 days old. But we know that there was a special Nes, there was Cham Kiyom Hilokcha, then when they took it off 9 days later, it was as fresh as the day it was baked. But why? The answer is because the Shulchan was placed opposite the menorah. When a person takes with the Shulchan Melochim, a person's whole Anhogah is with that, the light of the menorah. When it's put in perspective of that Yud, the Maisa, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yud, the tenth, then you can have 9 days old bread. Not coincidence nine. The other nine parts, the 9 days bread, will be fresh as the day it was baked. So the Melech Sodom says to Avraham Avinu, just to complete the story there. He says to Avraham Avinu, so you can take something from here. Avraham Avinu says, no. I'm not taking it. You know, there's an obvious question they all ask. You got the guy who says, you know what, from today onwards, I've just heard an incredibly inspirational shir about Emunah, I am not doing anything. I'm going to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, that's it, he quits his job, and he gives out all his money to stock, and that's it, he's going to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next day he's walking down the road. He looks down and he sees a lottery ticket. He picks it up. Lo and behold, it's got the winning numbers. He says, I know this is a test. This is a nisayon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He chucks it in the bin. He's not willing to take the money. A few days later, somebody offers him a job. No, and he goes on like this. People are offering him. He's finding things and he's dying. 2 weeks later, finally, he passes on and he goes up to Shamayim. He comes to the Beis Shamayim and they say, you're guilty. Guilty of what? According to my man, they say, you're guilty of effectively committing suicide. He says, what do you mean? But I place my trust in you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they say, what do you mean? You place your trust in me and I provided for you. Who do you think sent you that lottery ticket? Who sent you the job offer after that, etc.? So Avraham Avinu, he says, I'm trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's means. Avraham Avinu said no. He says, the pact I made with Lot was, if you go to the left, I'm going to the right. If your mission is to publicize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence in a world of Gashmias, as Esav Be'etzim could have and should have done, I'll be the Yaakov. You could be the Esav and I'll be the Yaakov. The Ishtom Yeshev Ahodim, the person who will be supported by nothing but Mon. That's my Avodah. If I take the money from you, people are going to say, aha, you see, if you just go in a life completely and utterly 100% to the right, you won't make it. It's only because you've got something, some connection to the left. He said, you can make it to the left. But my mission in life is to publicize. I'm going to the right. And if I go to the right, you, Lot, will go to the left. I will go to the right. And you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for me. I've shown you how it can work when you go to that life of the left. I've shown you how it can work in a place like Sodom. Now it's up to you to take the message. My mission is back to the right. Did Sodom take the message? We know they didn't. That's this week's parasha. As we said, they didn't take that maisa, with the resh, I mean, and therefore they didn't take the maisa mikol, and as a result of it, actually just struck me now, mikol, vayitelu maaser mikol, it's the same letters, mikol, mem chaf lamed. Unfortunately, they didn't put the mayach at the head of it, mikol, and it ended up kalim, Sodom, there's nothing left of them. That's to the left. So who did we say was to the right? Next week's parasha, who was to the right? Ve'efne al yominu al samol. So who's to the right? That's got to be Yishmael. So what's on the right? On the right is the menorah. Now the menorah is light. It's a flame. A flame can provide illumination. It can light up a world, but it can also destroy a world. Because if that little flame catches fire, catches onto something, then you end up with a destructive fire and it can destroy. And that is essentially why Yishmael, as we'll see, Yishmael belongs to the right. Because Yishmael has the ability. He has the ability to illuminate and to light up a world. He has that middah, he's the son of Avraham Avinu, he has the capability to have that pe'er ha'odom. We know he's referred to in the Torah as pere odom. But the word pere is the same letters as pe'er. Pe'er ha'odom. The glory of man, which the Gemara says, the pe'er is the tfiros shel rosh. He has that koyach of the mayach, the ability to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. It's simply a question of whether it's going to be or those pronounce it as oyer, right? But in other words, aleph, vav, resh, it's a question of where you're going to put the dot. Once again, where does the dot go? Does it go on top of the vav? The vav being, we find, the Arizal says, the vav, the letter vav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is the zaraya, is the arm. Is it going to be, are you going to take that little dot? Are you going to put it on top? The tefillah shel rosh. Are you going to recognize that it's not kochi ve'etzem yodi? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is on top of me, lighting up my path, directing me in life, making me successful in life. Then it's It's light. It's a direction in life. But if you take that little dot, if you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, that dot, the little yud, and you put it in the middle of the vav, you conceal it, you pretend, it's not Hashem, it's mine. Kochi ve'etzem yodi. Where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's hidden inside the vav. You concealed his existence. Then the becomes ur. And what does ur mean? Ur means fire. It becomes destructive. Instead of having pe'er ha'odom, it becomes pere'odom. And pere'odom is not just stum. Pere'odom is the worst of the worst. As Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin used to ask, he says, in Loshon HaKodesh, normally, You have the noun followed by the adjective. If you want to say a big table, you say Shulchan Godol. You don't say Godol Shulchan. So in which case, if you'd expect, if you're describing Yishmael as a wild man, you should say, not Pera Odom, it should be Odom, Pera. Odom is the noun, and Pera is the adjective. So Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, you see quite how bad Yishmael was over here. It wasn't that he was primarily, the essence was a human being who was wild. He was Pera. That was what he was. He was so destructive, so wild, that when you looked at him, you actually saw, first and foremost, Pera, something wild. And you're thinking, what is this? Is it a man? Is it a human? Is it an animal? And then when you look closer, you suddenly realize, actually, he has the characteristics of a human being. He went from having Pe'er Ha'odom to Pera Odom. He can be the light, or he can be the fire. That's the Kayach of Yishmael, oscillating from one extreme to the other. And this was already expressed by none less than Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, as it was pointed out, somebody told me this, this Nakuda, the history of it. Somebody called Rav Ashkenazi, apparently, I think possibly in Eretz Yisrael. He says, when did Reb Chaim Vital live? Just to give you the historical perspective, we're talking about, he lived 1500s, he lived just after the Spanish Inquisition. And there he was in the Ottoman Empire, I wouldn't say the Yishmaelim loved the Yidden, but they lived side by side. There was peace, there was tranquility. And what did Reb Chaim Vital write there? He refers to a pasuk in Tehillim, Lule Hashem Shayalonu Bekum Olenu Odom. He says, who is this man that David HaMelech is warning us about? There's going to come a time in the future, Bekum Olenu Odom. Everything you faced until now, all those visions in Daniel about when you're attacked by the lion, Nebuchadnezzar, whether it's the bear, that's going to be Poras, the four Malchus, all portrayed as animals. And we thought terrible. And we got Esav, the destructive nature of Esav, who again, in the visions where it's different materials. And as the Maharal explains, when it comes to the three other Malchus, so they're portrayed as, you've got gold, silver, in other words, they've all got a motive behind it. Poras is all about money. They want money, they want Gashmius. When it comes to Esav, it's Barzel. Barzel is destruction for the sake of destruction. Esav, it's a halacha, Sonei Es Yaakov. They always will be out, whether there's a reason, whether there's no reason, they are out to destroy us. And we thought that's the worst it could get. Could it get any worse? Says Reb Chaim Vital, David HaMelech is warning us. Everything you've endured until now, until the end of days, is child's play compared to what's to come. Lule Hashem Shayalonu Bekum Olenu Odom. There's going to come a time at the end of days when an Odom is going to rise up against you. That's reference to the Pera Odom Yishmael. Because when an Odom turns against you, it's far worse than when an animal turns against you. Because there's an intellect behind it. And when there's an intellect behind it, the danger is far worse. He can be your best friend. An animal may have that within its nature that it will not be your friend. It will attack. That's Esav. It will always attack. But the danger is still child's play compared to your best friend who suddenly turns against you. When he turns against you, there's nothing can compare to that. For that, there's absolutely nothing. Lule Hashem Shayalonu Bekum Olenu Odom. But when did Reb Chaim Vital write this? He wrote this in a time, who would have predicted that? Because as we said, Yishmael can seem to be your best friend, can seem to be that Pe'er Odom, and yet when he turns against you, it's not Odom Pere, it's Pere Odom. And that's Yishmael. He's the menorah who can be, as we said, can be the light, but when he turns against you, suddenly that turns into Ur, into a destructive fire. Coming back to our parasha now. Of course, Yishmael had committed the three cardinals. Avodah Zarah, Gilah Aroyah, Shvichas Domim, and as a result of that, had been cast out into a midbar. But it's not stunned that he was cast out into a midbar. We know that the midbar, Chazal tell us, is the place which is most masugal for spiritual success. Chazal say that's why the Torah was given in the midbar, because if a person wants to become great in Torah, Yaseh Atzmo, he should make himself like a midbar. And there he was in the midbar, thirsty for water, symbolizing this idea that he'd actually foretelling what was to come. He would suddenly become, as it were, on the face of it, a big tzaddik. He'd do teshuvah. It's going to oscillate. He's going to go back to his ways, and then he'll do teshuva again later on in the story. But at this moment, as he's dying of thirst, it represents that thirst of Yishmael as a light. He'd been cast out into the Midbar because he was behaving as the Pera Odom, shooting arrows at Yitzchak, committing the three Aviris Chamuris. But as he was there in the Midbar, Avraham Avinu's father had cast him out to bring out that other innate koyach, the other side to Yishmael. And he's crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for water, crying out for that light. And the Malachim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me, you're going to perform a nace for this person. You know what he's going to choose in the end. What's going to be the end with Yishmael? He's going to show that his true colors, his true essence, the path he's going to choose will be the Pera Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but right now, Ba'asher Usham, he's in the Midbar. He's crying out for water. As it were, he's done teshuva. Right now, he's a tzaddik or a rasha? He said he's a tzaddik. That is Yishmael for you. One moment, he could be the worst Rosha, the Pera Odom. The next moment, Pera Odom. He's crying out for that water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right now, what is he? He's a tzaddik. Of course, he's going to have, as we said, you're going to see both sides of Yishmael. And yes, in the end, the path he will choose, that will be the Pera Odom. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I judge a person by Asher Hushon. Avraham Avinu, his success was not, although he's promoted as the biggest and the most successful Kirov worker, Chazal tell us that actually, of all those nefoshes, Asher Osu V'choron, actually the vast, vast majority of them went back. Avraham Avinu's success was not in that. Avraham Avinu's success was in the fact that he opened the eyes of the world to show them that there are two sides here. Before Avraham Avinu came on the scene, everyone thought there's nothing in the world but a world of Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu came along and he opened, gave people that bechira, gave people the ability to see there are two paths, there's Tov and there's Ra. The choice is yours. And that explains why, if you take a look at the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged him by Asher Husham, says the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, it was Bizchusei da Avraham, it was in the Zechus of Avraham Avinu. So was it because he was a tzaddik, or was it in the zechus of Avraham? The answer is, it was in the zechus of Avraham, his righteous father, who had shown him that there are two paths, Yishmael. There is the light, and there's the fire. The choice is yours. What you will choose in life, that's yours. Will you choose life? Will you choose Tov? Will you choose Ra? As we said, the Bechira is yours. I cannot make the choice, I cannot make that Bechira for you. All I can do, says Avraham Avinu, is I can show you their two parts. That zechus of Avraham Avinu stood by Yishmael's side in the Midbar. It gave him the ability at that moment to bring out the Pe'era Odom and saved his life. What will be at the end of days? Enoch Anami. As Rabbi Chaim Vital said, that Pe'era Odom, Mekum Olinu Odom, that's what we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should protect us. And who knows, just like in the end, Yishmael did do teshuvah. When Moshiach comes, surely Yishmael will turn round, as will all the nations. They'll recognize the Taka, the Pe'era Odom, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what controls our entire existence. Good job.
What was the opposite?
Standing in for Dudi. Mo ani mechayai. I stand before you in trepidation with an overarching consciousness of inadequacy. Who am I to substitute for our regular incumbent Reb Dudi, the master orator, whose erudite command of the English language, his eloquent textual constructions, and his multifarious lexicological compositions are beyond compare? I neither aspire nor attempt to replicate his unique style and his verbal agility. And next week, Erev Shabbos Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Dudi will resume his normal combobulations. But meanwhile, I'd like to share a Dvar Torah with you in plain English. I heard this Dvar Torah from Rabbi Pinchas Breuer in Antwerp once. Many years ago in the Visitor Stiebel in Antwerp on Shavuos. The source is an Ora Chaim in Parshas Yisroi, but it's also Chidushi HaGodos Ma'asho. I don't have the reference here. After 10 Nisyonos, according to most of the Mephoshim, after 10 Nisyonos, Akedas Yitzchok is the ultimate Nisoyan, and Avraham Avinu passes the test. He's the closest that you can imagine a human being ever getting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ato Yodati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elokim Ato, that you are God-fearing. And the question is, Yiro is the lower Madrega, and Elokim is a Midas Hadin. So he's saying, now I know, after all these nisyonos, that you have got a fear of Midas Hadin, that you have a fear of Elokim, Yirei Elokim. Surely he'd reached the Madrega of Ava. He got that up one Madrega from Yiras Elohim, from Yiras Oynish, from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu purely out of fear. Surely he'd become a Oyhev Hashem. Hashem is the Midas Harachmim, and he'd reached the Madrega of Avo. So what does it mean when he said, Atu Yodati, that after all this, Ki Yirei Elohim Ato, that you only cover Yochol a Yirei Elohim, which is a low Madrega? The Choyer Moshe Avraham Avinu had achieved the much higher Madrega of being an Oyev Hashem. Says the Orach Chaim, it's something that I heard and it sticks with me. I think Orach Chaim doesn't need my Haskoma, but I think it's something that's very true. He says as follows. He says, you can be at a low level, you can have a Yiras Oynesh. A child can be frightened of his father because his father can punish him. You can then get to a higher Madrega of Avo, like Avo Sish V'Ishtoi, or an Avo of a child to a parent, that he does something for his father purely because he wants to please his father, not because he's frightened of punishment, not because he's frightened of consequences, but just because of Avo. He reaches the Madrega of Avo. But he says, then there's a danger, says the Orach Chaim. There's a danger there that you get too heimish with your father. There's a danger there that you say to yourself, I'll do something, I know my father won't approve, but you know what, I'll talk him around afterwards. We'll be able to talk, I'll be able to negotiate, I'll be able to get around. Sometimes you get to the Madrega of Avo, and in the Madrega of Avo, there is a danger that you will cross over lines that you're not allowed to cross over. That you will think to yourself, Echtova Oshuv, I'll do what my father doesn't approve of at the moment, but I'll talk him around. He'll have rachmonos on me. He won't want to see me suffer. He won't want to punish me. I'll get around it. We'll be able to talk it through, and somehow or other, you get too heimish. Says the Orach Chaim that when you go to the lowest Madrega of Yiro, and then you reach the higher Madrega of Avo, you still need the Madrega of Yiro above that as well. You have to know that there are lines that can't be crossed. You can't call your father by his first name. And you can't transgress an Aveira. You can't do something with all the cheshbonus in the world that you might make. L'shem Shemayim, for the sake of my father, for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I will do this thing and he'll understand, and Yom Kippur, whatever it is, doesn't work like that. There are rules, there are halachas, etc. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, to Avraham Avinu, and slaughter your son as a korban, it was the complete antithesis of everything that Avraham Avinu stood for, and it was the complete opposite of what the Avraham Avinu thought the Ribbono Shel Olam got in mind for Yitzchok Avinu, for the future of Klal Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu couldn't start making cheshbonos. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't mean that, and if I don't do it because I'm doing it l'shem Shemayim, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will understand, etc., etc. No. Kachno espincha siyichidcha. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him an exact command. He followed the command exactly. There was no varying from that. He had the madrega of ato yodati ki yirei elokim ato, having been a yiras Hashem, and then becoming an oyhev Hashem. He still retained the discipline that you have to know. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a Ribbono Shel Olam. A father is a father. There are certain lines that you cannot cross. You can't just sort of do what you like and then reckon that you'll be able to sort it out afterwards. Ato yodati ki yirei elokim ato. You have that higher madrega of Yiro, which comes even above the state of Avo. All right. Yeah. What do you think?